of God's people said amen.
Amen.
I can't stop praising his name.
Amen.
Look at somebody and say, I just can't stop
praising
his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. And thank you, Redeemer, for giving me an opportunity to come and practice some more on you. I appreciate you. I really, really do. You guys are, well, this is like my second home, I guess, huh? Y'all don't mind if I call it home, do you? Amen, amen. Some wonderful, wonderful people you are here at the Church of the Redeemer. Certainly to my sister and brother preachers who are with me on the pulpit, and to those in the audience, and to all our deacons and such that are here. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. And we're here to rejoice and to be glad. Amen. I want to thank our choir for coming from Gospel Temple, this is a portion of them. And Reverend Pryfrom said, I saw a group back there, and all of them had on the same color. I said, that's because they like to be noticed. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful group, and I praise God for them. Minister Jefferson, did he slip out already? Oh, there you go. God bless you, son. Amen. With our minister of music over there at Gospel Temple. Yeah, give him a God bless you. He does an outstanding job. We are blessed to have him. And, of course, that's my son that's on the drum. Amen? Amen. I look like him. Amen. Thank God for all of you who've come to share with us this evening in this revival. And you did have a theme, and I have to apologize because it was sent to me, but I had to ask you guys, those that were responsible for being here, what that theme is. And so I wrote it down. It says, a church trusting in God's plan. And that's a good thing, to trust in the plan of God. Because I used to hear a lady used to say years ago, we plan, but God unplans. Amen. And if you want God to laugh, tell him what you got planned. Amen. And so it is good to be in God's plan.
Yes.
And the Roman record said that we are called, chapter 8 says that we are called according to his purpose. And every one of us has a purpose. You're just not like Forrest Gump says, you're just not like a little something that's floating around on a breeze. We have a direction. And there is a plan that God has for each and every one of us. And my advice to you, my dear friends, is to find out what God's plan is for you, and work toward that. And I do need to say this, that sometimes God plans things for us that we don't want to do as I'm talking here. Amen. And y'all know this is how I do. It's pastor privilege is what it's called. Amen. Those of us that are called to whatever, a lot of times we run from what God has designed for us because we recognize the severity of it. Amen. And so we do like Jonah. We get a ship to go in the opposite direction. Amen.
Amen.
But there's one thing about our God. He knows where you are. And I think the psalmist says that if you make your bed in hell, he'll find you. And if you ascend to the uttermost parts of the descend to the uttermost parts of the earth, he'll find you. And if you go up to the sky, he'll find you there. Amen. And so I think the conclusion is that you just can't hide from God. And I know that there's some people in here tonight that can testify to the fact that you cannot hide from God. Amen. Because he knows where you are. And he knows how to find you. Amen. So a church that's trusting in God's plan is a good theme that you need to take with you throughout the balance of this year so that you can be on the same page with God. And that's a good page to be on, is the page with God. Amen. Because he knows the end from the beginning. And he will direct our faltering footsteps. Let me see if I can just share a little bit of the word of God with you tonight, talking about the church of Christ. Is that okay? Can I talk about the church? I've been in the church a long time. Amen. And I've pastored the church a long time. And I've gone to several churches for a long time. And they weren't all Baptist churches. Amen. But I do have this little joke among those that aren't Baptist. And that is, I say, you can't go to heaven unless you are a Baptist. Y'all will get that when you get home. Amen. I have some brothers and friends that are members of the Church of God in Christ and apostolic churches and Methodist churches and such, that they're friends of mine. And I'm always teasing them and saying, if you're not a Baptist, I don't know what's going to happen to you on the day of judgment. That's a joke, my dear friend. Amen. But I'm kind of thinking, well, maybe it's not, because as they call me from time to time, they say, I've been to the Baptist church. And I said, well, you got to go through the door to get into glory. Amen. So let me just talk about the Church of Christ. I had the privilege of preaching in North Philadelphia on Lehigh Avenue. The church was the Roman Emanuel Baptist Church some years ago. And we still have a friendship. The fellowship has kind of waned, but we still have a friendship of the churches. And Pastor Brown, Darian Brown, is the great pastor there. But in those days that I was going up there, he was not the pastor at all. And as a matter of fact, they didn't have a pastor. And they would call me to come and preach. Amen. They had me baptizing them because they didn't have a pastor at the time. I had baptized a lot of their members and funeralized some of them. And then they got real fancy and they wanted me to do weddings. So I did not think that they were trying to get me. I didn't do it for that reason. I was serving God. Y'all hear me in a few minutes. Because I knew he had called me to the gospel temple. Baptist Church, amen? It's over there, your neighbor at 1327. South 19th Street, come on over. The Feast of the Lord is going on, amen? And so I knew he had done that, and so I was not there with that intention of leaving and all of that. But they had me to preach, and so one particular night, I journeyed up there, and they always had me to come on Mondays for some reason. I don't know why they wanted me on Mondays. Maybe they figured that if they get me on Monday, that would give them grace and strength for the rest of the week. I don't know. But they would always have me come on a Monday. And so I would go up there on a Monday. And I said, you know, let me just do something. I want to take a survey as I'm journeying toward 11th and Lehigh. And I rounded the corner at 33rd and Lehigh. And it occurred to me that I needed to count the churches that were in that stretch from 33rd and Lehigh to 11th and Lehigh. And there were more than 30-some churches that I counted in that stretch of Lehigh Avenue between 33rd and 11th. And it occurred to me that if we got all these churches, why ain't everybody saved? Are y'all there? How is it that even on that Lehigh Avenue with all of those churches, they still have issues of people behaving unseemingly? But we have all these churches, and all of them say that they are a church, and they have all kinds of names. Isn't it interesting, my dear friends? I'm going on. I'm going to be done in a minute here. Then the names of some of these churches. I don't know where or what they were drinking when they named some of these churches. Some of the names of the churches are longer than the number of people that they have attending the church. Y'all ain't saying amen. And I'm not going through all of that, but I'm going to try one of these days to try to preach a sermon on all the names of all of these churches. I'm going to see how I can get it together, but I don't know about that. But nonetheless, they all have varying names, and all are claiming be the answer to the world, claiming that they have the panacea for what's wrong with society. 33 churches in just that stretch of North Philadelphia. Some small, some large. Some, you wonder how in the world that they're even standing, because they're ill-kept. I have a problem there. I must just share this with you. Let me just put that pin there. I have a problem with us not taking care of the house of God. I let me just say this. I happen to be in Atlantic City. Y'all know Atlantic City. And I strolled through. Time was the Taj Mahal. I strolled through. I said, I strolled through. And as I walked in the lobby, I was amazed at how beautiful it was, how bright it was, how inviting it was. Carpeting nice and the lights twinkling and everybody, you know, seemingly in a good frame of mind, losing their money, but in a good frame of mind. And it occurred to me that if Satan can have such a bright spot to attract the world, then why can't we, y'all ain't saying amen, make sure that our place is attractive, and that the windows are clean, and that the sign is correct, and that all the words are spelled properly. Help me. The Church of Christ ought to be the most inviting place ever. Church of Christ, when Solomon built the temple of God, we can't even afford to do all that he did in that day. Gold and silver and precious stones to invite people and to encourage them. Come on over here. See what we have going on. Oh, but I've come by some and it doesn't seem too inviting. So I had to come to a conclusion, my dear friend. This is the Church of Christ. Well, what's the problem? And I found this scripture in Matthew 16 that says, "And I say unto thee," talking to Peter, "thou art Peter. Upon this rock I'll build my," everybody say my, "church." It occurred to me that our attitude toward what we call the church is a little misplaced, because we have the notion that it's ours. My pew. My choir. My usher board, my. And let me share this with you. You don't own anything.
That's right.
I need to share this with you as I'm almost done. You, thus thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return.
Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. It belongs to him. But he also rushed on to tell Peter, and the gates of hell should not prevail against them. I need to tell you that the gates of hell are trying to prevail. The gates of hell are trying to onslaught the church. Can I say amen to that? I said the gates of hell are trying its best to try to overtake the church, in the church as we see it. Indifference. Jealousy. Thieves. Acts chapter 5, verse 16. I'm going to take my time. Y'all gave me plenty of time tonight. Amen. Lying. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 6. Ananias and Sapphira lied. And God struck them down. And said, how dare you lie to the Holy Ghost? This is revival, ain't it? How dare you make a pretense toward him that knows everything? And the record is, when they were chastising them, they said, all you have, it was yours in the beginning. We just asked you for a little bit. You didn't have to lie and say, well, whatever, whatever. And God struck them down. Yes, he did. And thank God for the cross. Because if it weren't for the cross and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, there would be a whole lot of people that would be struck down at the door. But aren't you glad for the grace that he looks beyond our shortcomings and gives us another chance to get our crazy stuff together? Can I get an amen? The gates of hell come up and try to swallow up the church. But Jesus said to Peter, Peter, don't worry about it. I've given you the key. Whatever you lock on earth, I'm going to lock it in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'm going to loose it in heaven. In other words, when you speak under the authority of God, demons ought to tremble. When you come into a room, the devil ought to be scared that you arrive. Why? Because you are the church of the living God. Can I get an amen? Our God is not a dead God. We don't have to carry him around our neck and set him on a pedestal and put him out in front and go through a whole lot of antics in order to get his attention. All we have to do as the church of God is to get down on our knees. And he said, whether two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be in the midst and call upon him. And he said, I will answer you and show you great and mighty thing that you didn't think could ever come your way. All we got to do is act like we know. I said, act like we know. We are not to be, you know, we are not the wimps. I know the scripture says, you know, turn the other cheek. But when it comes to the things of God, we ought to be able to stand up at the church of God and square our shoulder back and say, thus saith the Lord. And we've got the Holy Ghost to back us up when we speak in the name of Jesus. God did not call us to sit around the round table. I wish I had a praying church. And try to compromise with leaders that are on their way to hell. Y'all ain't saying amen. Amen. Just to say I got a picture with this and I got a rose from that and a plaque from the other. God doesn't care anything about the rose, the plaque, nor the picture. Are you living for him? Are you standing for him? Are you representing him? You are the church of the living God. Can I get some amen? I said, you are the church of the living God. You are the church of the living God. Don't hang your head. Lift your head up high and say, I am God's child. say greater. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We got power, children. I said we got power. We don't have to walk around like we're the last and the least. I said we got power. And if we exercise the keys that he gave to us, he promised that we would be the head and not the tail, that we would be the lender and not the borrower, that we would be blessed when we go in and blessed when we come out. We are the church. We are the called out. We are the different. We are better. We are somebody. We are God's child. God paid an awful price for you and me. He died on Calvary. I said he died from the 6th to the 9th hour. They buried him in a tomb, but he got up with all power in his hand, and he sent his disciples back to Jerusalem and told them, don't you leave until you get some power. And so here is my conclusion to all of it. The reason that we're so weak is we ain't got no power. Power. I said power. Power to live right. That's number one. Power. Power to do what he called you to do. Power to speak to the devil and say, listen here, I've drawn the line in the sand. Give me your best shot because I got power. Can I get an amen? I said I got power. Acts chapter 2 talks about the day of Pentecost. I wish I had some time here. And on the day of Pentecost was when the power of God rested upon the 120. And God used Big Mouth Peter. Cussing Peter. Pistol sword swinging Peter. Because the difference with him is that he had power with God, and he stood up and told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when he got done preaching, the people came to him and said, what? You missing it. They came to him and said, what must I do to be saved? I wish I could get an amen. How many people have ever come to you and asked you, what can I do to get what you got? I have to submit. Maybe we don't have enough power. Can I get an amen? I have to share this with you. I go in town on occasion, and I walk through the mall on occasion, and sometimes through the streets of South Philadelphia on occasion, and go into to see the doctor's offices, and I'm sitting there and not really reading the Bible. I don't have no cross around my neck. My collar, I don't have a collar on, no black suit, no red shirt, purple shirt, just clothes. I wish I could get an amen. And somebody will come up to me and say, ain't you a preacher? And I have to go to the mirror sometime because I want to find out, what does a preacher look like? I wish I could get an amen. But I discovered that it ain't that I look like it, it's who that is on the inside. I wish I could get an amen. That when you walk into a place, they ought to know that you've been with God. I wish I could get an amen. You remember the story how Peter had denied the Lord 3 times, and he got so indignant with those that were asking him and saying to him that you belong to Jesus, and he started cussing. Y'all ain't listening at me. And the lady said to him, you can cuss all you want because even your speech betrays you. I said, when you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, amen, you can walk in a place and they'll know you've been with God. I wish I could get some amens. It has occurred to me that the reason that we don't have them knocking down our doors is because we done lost our power. But I come by to tell Redeemer and Gospel Temple and anybody else that's visiting, you need to go back and get some power. I wish I could get an amen. In the last part of chapter number 2 of the book of Acts, the Bible says that great signs and wonders were made by the apostles. They were laying on hands and blind people were seeing, and they were walking in the temple, and lame people were walking and getting up and shouting, and they were had so many people one day that Peter had to stand up in a place called Solomon's Porch because he couldn't get to everybody. But somebody said, Pete, I tell you what you do, stand in the way of the sun and let your shadow pass over those that are sick. And the Bible says that everybody that got in the shadow got healed. Why? Because Peter had some power with God. Yes, he used to cuss. Yes, he swung a sword. But when he had been dipped and baptized and changed, it made a difference in his life. Can I get an amen? I got another brother over there in Timothy. He was on his way, amen, to bind all of those that were calling on the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, at noonday, a great light shone, knocked the brother off his beast. He had enough religion to realize that this was supernatural. He had enough religion to realize that this must be God. And he heard a voice saying, why are you persecuting me? And he answered back, well, who are you? And the voice said, I am Jesus. I wish I could get some help right there. Ah, brothers and sisters, you can have a name if you wanna, but if you don't have Jesus in the middle of it, your song ought to be about Jesus. Your prayer ought to be to Jesus. Your attitude ought to be about Jesus. Can I get some church people up to say amen? I said, whatever you do, you need to do it all to the glory of God. That if you sing good this Sunday, don't say thank you, but say glory to God. If you pray good next Sunday, don't say thank you, but say glory to God. If you preach a good sermon, don't say thank you, but say give it glory to God. Because if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be anything at all. Can I get some amen? Because dust you are, I said, and unto dust you shall return. We are nothing without him. We need him in the morning. We need him in the noonday. We need him late at night. We need him when the world is going crazy. Donald Trump needs Jesus, and we got the answer. Don't go to the White House and talk about, hey, Mr. President, but walk up there like John. Walk up there like John the Baptist. Walk up there like Samuel told David, you the man. Can I get an amen? Because we ought to obey God rather than man. Can I get an amen? We are the church of the living God, and I submit to you that we need to give the church back to Jesus. I said we need to give the church back to Jesus, because you trying to work it, you trying to fix it, but it don't belong to you. Can I get an amen? It belongs to him. He is the head. He is the first. He is the last. He is the foundation. He is the door. He is the light. He is the way. He is the truth. Give your church back to Jesus, he'll supply your need. He'll open up a way. He'll make your enemies to be your footstool. He'll send in people. Because the last part of that chapter of the book of Acts says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Read Acts chapter 2, run down to the end of the chapter, and it says, and the Lord added to the church. What our problem is we got people that we've added that ain't got no business being. Say yeah. I said, say yeah. But if you let God fix his church, let God build his church, give your church, Redeemer, give your church back to Jesus. He said, on this rock, I'll build my church. Say yes, say yes, give it. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands. Hallelujah. I said, lift your hands. Hallelujah. I've discovered that what revival is for us to pull into the station and get some more gas. I wish I could get an amen. Don't get that cheap stuff. Get that high test stuff. Because you got a rough road ahead. I wish I could get an amen. You got some high mountains that you've got to climb. And some deep valleys that you got to go through. And you need to make sure that you're hooked up. To the power source. Say amen. Say amen, somebody. And the power source is Jesus the Christ, because you are the church of the living God. Amen. Amen. You go out of here tonight and say, I am the church, and I'm giving it back to Jesus. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I know. I said, hallelujah. Give it back to Jesus. Let me share this, and then I'm going to, what they call opening the doors of the church. Let me share this. When I took over Gospel Temple Deacon Gary in 1975, amen, I was a young fella. I ain't too bad now, but I look pretty good. I'm legal now. And I asked a senior pastor, because I didn't have a clue. All I knew is that he called me. And all I knew is he told me to preach. And they, by the grace of God, after they had prayed, said, do you want it? I didn't even get a chance to, you know, but my tongue got tied. Because God didn't give me a chance to say no. And so I asked the senior preacher, I said, preacher, just starting out, what shall I do? What do I need to do? What kind of meeting do I need to have? What kind of group do I need to get together? Do I need to change the usher board? Do I need to get some better deacons? What should I do? And the pastor said, his name is William Sullivan. He was the pastor of the Oak Grove Baptist Church. It's in North Philadelphia now. And he said to me, son, I'm going to tell you what to do. I said, I'm listening with bated ears. Give me one word. Pray. Yeah. Y'all missing that. And so when I first started out there in the Church of God, had the ups and the downs, but I remembered the old man. He said, pray. Didn't say you wasn't going to shed any tears. Didn't say your feelings wouldn't get hurt. Didn't say they would call you, you know, everything but a child of God and all of that. But pay that no mind. Pray. Come on, somebody. Stay plugged into the power source so that when the hellhounds come at you, you got some power. Can I get an amen? Let me share this one more illustration with you, and then I think I'm done. I'm going to do open the doors of the church. I had bought a car, and it was gold. Chrysler Fifth Avenue. Amen. I was somebody. I bought it on prayer meeting night. I suppose it'd been in prayer meeting. And it occurred to me that it had a special feature. And the feature was called cruise control. And what I learned about the cruise control is that it will keep you at the steady pace. And that was good. But see, the roads aren't always. Come on, somebody. And so I want to know what you're supposed to do when the road is steep, going up. And when the incline is steep, going down. Well, I learned real quickly, Abdul, that all I had to do was press the button and take my foot off the gas. And all of a sudden, in the mechanism of the engine, it sensed that the car was going up the hill, and it began to give an extra boost and ease that car on up the hill. And when I got to the decline, it would slow me down. Here's all I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, if you stay plugged in, put your cruise control on, you'll stay level, you'll stay at an even pace. And when you need power, God will give you that extra boost. Can I get some amens in here? We'll give you that extra boost. And what is that extra? The Holy Ghost of God, the power of God, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of the church, will help you go on up the hill. Redeemer, stand for Jesus, and He will stand for you. Say amen. I said, say amen. I'm done. Everybody on your feet all over the church. I don't want to keep you too long. But there's a whole lot more I could tell you, but I got to stop. You got a preacher coming tomorrow night. He going to finish it all. Good preacher. He'll have you running up and down. Come on, somebody. But for right now, I want to urge you that don't know Christ, that you come on down the aisle, because you don't want to go to hell. Amen. I said, you don't want to do that. I tell you the reason I'm saved, because I don't want to go to hell. I said, is there anybody here who can witness? I don't want to go, because I found out it's not a nice place. And anywhere that God isn't, I don't want to be there. Come on, somebody. And you need God in your life. I'm urging you to come on down and give your life to Jesus Christ and join the Church of Christ. Come on, somebody. If you're here, choir's going to sing appropriately. Whatever they choose will be okay. You come on down. The deacons are waiting for you. Come on, my brother. Come on, my sister. Come on.